All right, this is November 18th, and the topic this month is mistakes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. With that said, I apologize for last week. You know, I have been teaching, I think it's 30 years. Last Thursday was the first time I've ever had to cancel a class. I've never canceled. I've always been able to transcend anything that was going on. I may have collapsed afterwards, but I was able always to do the class. So one of those reasons that I'm able to do that is this. When I was a child, if we felt ill in the morning and didn't want to go to school, my father would say, "Why don't you go to school and see how you feel when you get there? And then if you still feel bad, we'll come get you." So off to school we went. So I always show up and I always keep going. Now, what happened was I got bronchitis, which I knew it was coming on. And I worked on it for 2 weeks on my own because I will not give in to these different things. And then I decided I better call my doctor and get antibiotics. So I went on antibiotics. Now, why am I telling that story? Because God is in a pill or a prayer. And there are things out there to help you. You know, you don't have to be stubborn. And I get stubborn and I say, no, I'm going to do this myself. And I can take all these other herbs and spices and whatever else I do for all these things. And it'll be fine. But it wasn't fine. So I needed antibiotics. And I knew where to get them. So I called my doctor. And he was available, so I went and got them. Does that make me less of a metaphysician? Absolutely not. You have to use wisdom with everything that you do. And when you realize that it's not going to happen with your technique, you have to do something about it. Are any of you familiar with the story of Patty? Do you remember Patty? There was a big flood, and Patty was in his house, and they came by to get him, and he said, "No, I'm not going. It'll be all right." Then the water kept coming up, and they sent a motorboat for him, and he said no. And then they finally sent a helicopter, and he said no. And of course, he drowned. And when he got to heaven, he said to God, "Why didn't you help me?" And God said, "I sent you a motorboat. I sent you the helicopter. I sent you all the things, and you refused to do them." So that's what I had to sit down and say, "I'm not Patty. I'm not going to die when I can go and get antibiotics and cure myself." So anyway, and then when I was sick, of course, I do Daily Word every day. And this is from Daily Word, so I want to go through it quickly because it's very good. And it says, "I embody radiant health and vitality. The human body is complex and beautiful. Every cell, tissue, and organ is a masterpiece of divine engineering. During my daily activities, my body protects, repairs, regenerates, and revitalizes. It is a gift worthy of my love and care. I stem any negative thoughts about my physical self and embrace a deep sense of gratitude for my body. I see that my body is blessed with the power and strength of God. I praise and give thanks for the divine life flowing through me. As I see my body for the miraculous vessel and vehicle that it is, I experience greater fitness and health. I think health. I talk health. I see health expressing. I am the embodiment of radiant health and vitality." So when I was sick, I did not, people, of course, wanted to call and tell me everything. I wasn't taking too many calls because, you see, you have to talk health. You can't say to somebody, "I'm sick and this is what's going on," and then they go down through this whole thing. You have to stay with it. But here's the thing that I discovered. You know, we talk so much about the news and so forth, and we all believe this news, which is 5% of what's going on. This bronchitis was only 5% of what was going on in my body. It was absolutely amazing because the rest of my had no aches, no pains. The rest of my organs were functioning fine. My fingernails were still growing. The hair in my nose kept growing. So I said to myself, I'm working, you know, things are, don't concentrate on that 5%. Your body is still working, it's still doing what it can. But so many of us, when we get sick, we think, oh, that's the end, and we just concentrate on the sickness. Instead of saying, look, my body's functioning, it's doing all these other things, and this will take care of it, you see? And then, of course, the idea that God is in a pill or a prayer, and that, by the way, I did not make up, that is in Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes, I forget what page that is on, because, you know, we are religious scientists, not Christian science. This is not Christian science. We do not deny that there's illness in the world. We deny the necessity for it. We deny the necessity for it. So here's the little thing to remember. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You see, the trip to Israel was exhausting. We were morning, noon, and night doing things. Coming back on the plane, breathing everybody else's little things around, I had given this thing an opportunity to appear. So when you know that you do that, then you have to take that opportunity away. Now, I didn't sit there and punish myself and knock myself up against the head and get angry or anything. I just said, now it's time for this to go. I've horsed around with and had fun with it long enough. Now I want perfect health to return to my body. And that is what is occurring at the present moment. Health is back in. And it didn't go into pneumonia, didn't go into any of the other things that people kept predicting, you know. So when you're sick, think of that. It's only 5% of what's going on with you. The rest of your body is functioning fine. You know, I could look down and see my nails growing up. My goodness, you know, I'm not that sick. So anyway, that's, with that said, use this as a treatment for yourself and keep yourself healthy. You see, I slipped in that, but I can pull myself back. And you must think of your body as a magnificent gift, a marvelous thing that knows what it's doing. Your body knows how to heal these different things. It may need a crutch every once in a while. It may need a little help. But here again, that's when you use your wisdom, you see. I wouldn't have left myself die because of bronchitis. I mean, that would have been absolutely stupid, you see. So you don't do that. So there is this thing of sickness, and it's out there. But the necessity for it is, you have to take that necessity away. You see, I absolutely firmly believe that we do not have to be sick, because there's no sickness in the mind of God. This is not something from God. Bronchitis did not come from God, people. It came from my error. It came from my error, and I take full responsibility for that. You see. Now, I do ask God to help me out of the situation that I got myself into, but I never blame anything on God that I have caused myself. And I allowed my body to get weakened with the activities and so forth that I was doing. So anyway, with that said, let's talk a moment. Last week or the week before, we talked about mistakes. And what I said about mistakes is, thank God that you make them. Because if you didn't make a mistake, you wouldn't know it. And you'd keep doing the same thing. So mistakes are no big thing. They should be a gift to you. And when you make a mistake and you find out it's a mistake, then you change your mind and you do something else. So this whole thing of holding yourself responsible for all the mistakes and so forth in your life is absolutely ridiculous. And as I said before, my whole life has been a series of mistakes. I've been an absolute series of mistakes. But it has brought me to where I am today. It has brought me to where I am today, so I never look at those as mistakes. Something is always going on behind a scene. And I do not believe in predestination, but I do know that there's something always guiding me. remember the three things. I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. So, when you think that you're making a mistake, look at those things and say, is this guiding me into another direction? But don't hold those things against you. How many people hold things against them that happened 30 years ago? They made a mistake 30 years ago. My God, they're still punishing themselves about it. You see? And what do we know about mistakes in God? God doesn't make mistakes. You see? God doesn't make mistakes. All right, with that said, would you read that, please?
I am free of my past.
I am free of my past.
Free of my past.
I am 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 free of my past.
And I am free of my past. Why is that so important? The past has no power over you whatsoever unless you keep thinking about it. It's all done in your mind. So let the past go, and let all those mistakes that you think you made in the past, let them go. Each moment is a new beginning for you and a new way to think about something. So forget this thing. The world teaches mistakes, and it teaches you to punish yourself and this, that, and the other thing. Now, tonight what I want to talk about is the biggest mistake that we make is we think that we're here on this plane of action to suffer, to have stress, struggle, strain, and to sacrifice all the time. We're really here to find bliss. And that is the mistake. You see, the world does not want you to know that there's something out there called bliss or that there's something out there called pleasure. If you get too much pleasure, the world believes that you will fall apart. You will become decadent, you see. And that's not true. You're here to experience this thing called bliss. You're here to experience this thing called pleasure. So don't allow the world to convince you otherwise. And we do that all the time. And that's the mistake that we made. You see, this premise that we started with, and the religions, all religions start with, and how many times have we heard this? You were born in sin. And you're very sinful people. And you were thrown out of this place called the Garden of Eden. So now you have to figure out how the hell to get back, you see. It's one of the biggest mistakes in your thinking, and it's one of the biggest lies that the world tells you. And it does that to keep power going so that it can keep you under control. You know, many people think that anarchy will happen if everyone is allowed to do what they want and have pleasure and laugh and carry on. There'll be no one would work or anything. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. But no one is willing to step out there and do it differently because they've been doing it so long that one way that they're not going to change overnight. But the whole idea of this thing called religious science or this thing science of mind or this new thought thing is to have a new thought and to think differently. That's the only way anything new is going to come into this world. If you just keep repeating the same thing and the same traditions and the same thing, that's all you're going to have. That's all that's going to occur. So look around and see, where can you find pleasure? Where could you find bliss? And allow yourself to have that. It's the mistake is to think that you are here just to work, and to suffer, and to smile your way through this experience, you see. And that's what most people are doing. From birth to death, they think, oh, if I can just get to the other end, if I can just get over here. And they have, you know, why do you want to do that to yourself? You know, have fun. Be happy. Fill yourself with this thing called bliss and pleasure. You may only come through this phase once. I have never met anyone who's been here twice. Never. And I don't think that they do. Because consciousness is expanding all the time. and it expands into something else. It does not backtrack. It does not backtrack. It just keeps expanding. And we will expand on from this experience. But since we're here, and since we are pure consciousness, we have a choice to believe that we're here for pleasure and bliss. Or we can choose the other. So when you know that you have the power to do that, then it is your mind that does it. It's the consciousness that does it. Then why would you not do it? Why would you not seek out bliss? Why would you not seek out pleasure? I know that you're not going to be decadent. You're not going to become a heathen or whatever. You're going to become a wonderful human being. So think of those things in your life. So the mistake is to buy into the world that teaches you that pleasure is something that you can only have small portions of. And when you were a child, did you ever hear your parents say, "That's enough fun for the day? You've had enough for today. You have to stop now having fun"? So you see, we're taught that from a very early age. You can't have too much of any good thing. And we hear that's a big expression, isn't it? Too much of something good. And you can have as much good, because you have to look at this. That this thing called God is actually good. And since there's only God, then there's only good. So we should be able to see the good everywhere. We should be able to see the good everywhere. But the world trains us to see the opposite, you see. That what you are looking at is an illusion that your mind is causing. And it's a mass mind thing. That's why we use the word race mind. Race mind decides collectively to think something, and the rest of us start to think it. So you have to be able to see that. What is your mind doing to you, or what is your consciousness doing to you? I have to say to myself constantly, Taoist, you control your thinking, because little things come in to my mind, little scenarios that will run, which have nothing to do with anything, which are a complete waste of time, and they're not nice. They're not nice scenarios. So you have to be able to stop that. You are the one who has to stop that. That's done with your consciousness. That's done by seeing what your mind is thinking. By seeing what your mind is thinking. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. So use it. Use it. Now, what is the other thing the world never teaches? Never teaches you that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay. That's so important, people, to know that you do matter, and the world is not going to teach you that. And very few people grew up with the idea that they mattered. They knew that they were children. Your parents probably loved you, and they loved you as much as they could. But did you have a feeling that you really mattered? Did you have a feeling that you were worthy and deserving and totally lovable? Ah, you said to yourself, well, yes, if I do all the things that my parents tell me to do, and if I do all the things that authority figures tell me to do, then I am loved. That is not love, people. That's controlling. Unconditional love is what we're after here. It's accepting everything exactly the way it is. There's nothing right or wrong that the mind make it so. It is our thinking, it is our perceptions that make everything. So that's with your own mind. So these mistakes and so forth that you think you have made are in your mind. No one else is doing that but you, you see. And it's like anything else, you could only do it once. You only make the mistake once. But every time you think about it, you are repeating that. You are repeating that. So this is why you become your own punisher. And the world teaches you that. The world teaches punishment. This thing called God does not punish and does not teach punishment at all. Now, many religions teach punishment. I would run from any religion that teaches punishment, people. You do not need that. You have to remember that you are always innocent. You are always innocent. It doesn't matter. You make mistakes, you do different things, but you're always innocent. This thing called God never holds anything against you. It never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. So don't do that to yourself. You see, the older I get, the more time I had 2 weeks to mull around, I realize it's all mind. What's happening in my life is happening because of my thinking. I don't blame it on anybody else. I blame it on me, if I want to blame it on something. Instead of blaming, I take full responsibility for that, and I start to change my thinking. And I start to hold myself in the highest esteem. I start to know that I am worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, and that I matter. Not just words that I put out there. I start to absorb that stuff and really know that that is true about me. And that's what we all must do. We must know that it's true. Oh, that's nice. Oh, isn't that a lovely saying? Many people do affirmations, but they never go anywhere because they think, oh, that's just a lovely saying. Makes them feel good to say it, but they're not doing anything with that. You have to start knowing that this is true. It's the same way with this thing about healing. You have to know that your body is magnificent, that your body is doing all this stuff. That it's a miracle, all the stuff that's going on inside of your body. As you sit here, as we sit here, you don't know how many complex things are going on inside of you. You're digesting food. You're doing all kinds of things that you don't know about. All kinds of things. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. So you must know that about yourself. But only you people can do that. As I said before, I can tell you and I can talk about all this stuff. But you have to make it yours. And in order to do that, you have to, what? Forgive yourself. And you have to know that the things that you're holding against you that you call mistakes do not matter at all. They do not matter at all. I don't care what you think you've done. You must get rid of that. You are not your past. Stop thinking of that. Yes, there was somebody back there. There was all that going on back there. But it's gone. It's not there any longer. It's not there. Stay in this present moment. Stay in this present moment. In the present moment, you're not making any mistake whatsoever. There's no mistakes going on right now. But if you let your mind go here, there, and everywhere, you'll start to make these things. But notice them and notice, oh, yes, that's a mistake. That's the wrong way to think. Yes, that happened and this, that, and the other thing. But it doesn't mean anything. It does not mean anything. I don't care if you think you made a mistake and lost all your money, if you made a mistake and did whatever it was that you think you have done. Forgive yourself and forgive that mistake and go on with your life. No one is holding anything against you but you. You're the one that's doing it. This thing that we call God is not doing it. If you want to live in this world and be influenced by this world and be punished by this world, then that's a different thing. But you have to be in this world and not of this world. The world is going to do all kinds of crazies out there, and their thinking is completely opposite from this teaching. Completely opposite from this teaching. And when you start to really see this teaching, and you see, if you watch television, if you watch the news and all, you can see the game that everyone is playing. It's only a game that people are playing. And they think it's real. But you can decide to play any game you want to play. You can decide to play the game. You don't have to play the same game that they do. Pick up your marbles and go home. You know, don't play with those people. It won't get you anywhere doing that. If we are going to change the world and see the world differently, then we have to start thinking differently. And we have to do that with our thinking. We brought this world the way it is now into existence with our thinking. Nothing to do with this thing called God. We did that with our thinking. Now, if we want to align ourselves and learn to think God thoughts after it, we have to start thinking, oh, how would God act in this? I often say to myself, now, if I were an angel, how would I approach this? How would I see this if I were an angel? We're not going to get to that point of being angels, being all the things, seeing the world differently without starting with a new premise. So when you're in trouble, say to yourself, how would an angel handle this? How would an angel think about this? And then your mind will start thinking something differently instead of the same old stuff all the time. You see? You can become an angel. It's all done with your thinking. It's all done with your thinking. And we're taught that those things aren't possible. See, that's another big line, a big mistake that we buy into, that those things are not possible. You know, my friend Doug the Baptist, he's quite content to suffer. He's quite content. He thinks that's absolutely wonderful because he thinks it's God ordained that he should suffer because he's going to have a higher station when he gets to heaven. Because of the more you suffer, the better you're going to be in the next world. Now, is that not crazy? He's a lovely person. Someday he'll come. He'll come to class. He lives in Georgia. But he absolutely believes that. And he taught young people's classes in a Baptist church called the Peachtree Baptist Church for 30 years. For 30 years. And he still thinks that suffering means something. Suffering means you're stupid. It's all suffering means. You're stupid. You see? You know. And there's a saying. Ignorance can be fixed. Stupid is forever. Don't do that to yourselves. Give up this idea of suffering. All the great masters never suffered. You know, we get that idea that this man called Jesus suffered. Jesus didn't suffer. Maybe 3 minutes on the cross. Buddha never suffered. These people didn't suffer. They knew. They transcended all that. That's the world, people. That's the world. And there's the mistake that you think that suffering is necessary in this world. It's not necessary in this world. You cannot say that there is this superhuman being, this super consciousness, this big brain in the sky, whatever you want to call this thing that we think of as God, would want to have suffering going on. What kind of a sacrifice or what kind of a deity would feast on suffering? What kind of a deity would do that? No. A deity is all caring, all loving, all compassion. Not any of this suffering stuff. Most of the stuff that we have is all leftover, you know, from pagan religions and so forth, and from day one when they worshipped everything that walked and came up with all these crazy things to explain things. We're much more advanced. We don't have to do that to ourselves anymore. We don't have to do that to ourselves. You see? Will all these things be around 2,000 years from now? No. No, they won't. People are thinking differently. People are giving up this idea that we're here for stress, struggle, strain, sacrifice, and suffering. We're no longer. We're here for pleasure. We're here for bliss. We're here to find happiness within ourselves. We're here to learn to truly appreciate and love ourselves as the magnificent beings that we are. That's what we're here for. Remember, I said a long time ago, and often, highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. Is to love yourself and say, oh, thank you, God. I'm absolutely thrilled with myself. Absolutely thrilled with myself. See? That's what you do. Instead of picking yourself apart or doing all the different things that the mind has a tendency to do. But it's your mind that's doing that. Now, let me say this. There is no one else living inside of your mind but you. No one else lives in there but you. I cannot live inside of you. You cannot live inside of me. So when you're thinking and so forth, you have to realize that you're the one that's doing that. Now, what do you do with that? You have to realize not only are you not your mind, you're not your thinking. And you can learn to think the thought that you want to think. You can teach yourself to do that. You can teach yourself to do that. That's what the mind needs. That's what the mind is all about. Training it to do what you want it to do. But here again, the world says, oh, no, you've got a mind, or you've got a faulty mind, or this person's mentally ill, and this person's this, and this is happening, and that's happening. No. You're the one that's causing everything. Just change your thinking. Change your thinking about yourself. Learn to love yourself. And then you won't do that kind of stuff to yourself. You know, I can tell when people do not like themselves. That sticks out like a sore thumb. Because all kinds of things happen to them. Once you learn to love yourself, very little happens to you except good. Because why? You're connected to this thing called God, which is nothing but good. Which is nothing but good. So when you learn to change your thinking and know that you are good, know that you're connected to this thing called God, that you truly are gods and goddesses in the making, then your life changes and you see it differently. And you don't put up with all the nits and fleas of life that are out there. You don't put up with that. And it doesn't come near you, you see. It doesn't come near you. And that's what you want to know about everything. This does not come near me. This does not come near me. Other people can experience that, but it's not come near me. See, it doesn't exist in your universe. It exists in their universe. So what universe do you want to live in? You have to decide that. So the mistake is always not realizing that the world is very convincing and it is never going to teach success. Never going to teach you that. It's never going to teach you that you're worthy and deserving and totally lovable. And most people are not going to teach you that. But you can teach yourself that. And you can accept yourself as the wonderful thing that you are. It will be... all people want that peace of mind which passes all understanding. And you can only get that through love of self. You can only get that through love of self. Because once you love yourself, the mind is going to let you alone. The mind is going to let you alone. But till you discover that, you're going to have all that mind chatter, all that yamma yamma going on, constantly telling you that you're not enough, you don't have enough, and you don't do enough. Or, the biggest one is, you're less than. going to tell you you're less than. Well, you're okay, but you're less than that one. You're not less than anything. You have to know that. You have to know that you are not less than anything. So, now, I'll take your question.
Oh, okay. Is race mind, collective consciousness, and universal mind all the same?
Yes. There's only ever one mind. In the mind of God, which we call the mind of God, over here, somewhere in that mind, there's race mind. Race mind and collective consciousness are one and the same thing. They're just called by different names. Jung, the psychiatrist, called it collective consciousness. In religious science, we call it race mind, meaning how is the race thinking about something? How is the race thinking about something? And there's millions and millions of minds out there. And then when they start thinking the same thing, it takes on life. It takes on power of its own. But it is always contained within the mind of God. You see, there can never be two minds. And people get that mixed up. They think, oh, well, there's race mind and there's God mind. Cannot be. Cannot be any more than there could be my mind and God's mind. My mind is God's mind. My mind is God's mind. Now I must know that, and then I must do something with that. You see, I must learn to think God thoughts after it.
The universal mind is all three of those in that circle.
Yes, but they're all contained within the same thing. You see, there's not God's mind over here and race mind over there,
right?
Because that would
be. Oh, I see what you're saying.
See, that would be separation.
Okay.
Anytime you think separation, you know you're on the wrong track. Because it's always unity. Always going to be unity. So, and we get that impression that there are two minds going on, you see. And that's separation. No, no. We never can have separation.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
On that topic, though, if God's mind is perfect and wonderful, and yet humans are constantly in this race mind of uncertainty and chaos, so it seems separate because we are God, we're all part of God. Are we, like God is a perfect thing? How come we're failing this?
Because we have free will, and you can learn to think what you want to think, and we all think what race mind is doing, and we learned that when we were children. No one told us when we were children, you know, you can think something differently. You see.
Good mind, but we're trying to make it separate by being this race mind.
Oh yes.
So we're trying. That's the ego.
The ego tries to separate you all the time. It does not want you to know that you're connected to anything. You know, when you, if you, let's go. Let's talk about a mistake. We've all made a mistake, right? And don't we think, oh my God, I'm the only person that's ever made that mistake. I'm the only person that's ever made that mistake. That's not true, you see. But your ego mind, that little part of your mind, wants you to think that you're the only one who ever made that mistake. It's the same way with the idea of the original sin. You say, oh, I've sinned, so I've done horrible things. And I'm the only one that's ever done that. No. There's no such thing as the original sin. No such thing. But the little ego mind, which is in race mind, always wants to separate you. Always wants you to keep from knowing that you're connected to something that's powerful. Because it's afraid. It wants to be all powerful. That's the idea of the big I am and the small I am. Which one do you want to be? You see, we have to take this little I am up to this big I am.
But if race mind is a collective consciousness,
yes,
And race mind is deciding something negative. You mean God is in the middle of that?
You're using the same mind to do that, but you're using it incorrectly. That's the whole idea when they say, you must learn to think rightly. And see, we don't learn to think rightly. We learn to think what the race mind is doing. And we, because there's so much, it's so powerful. This thing that we're talking about, this thing called mind, you know, is surrounding us right now. We're permeated with it. It's called a thought atmosphere. That thought atmosphere is very powerful. So if in this room right now, if there's only one person thinking one thing and the rest of you all think the same thing, that person is going to tend to start thinking the way you're thinking. It just happens that way. That's how we get this race mind. Everyone, oh, well, everyone's thinking that. Just because everyone's thinking it does not make it right.
Mm-hmm. But that's my question. Is God in the middle of that wrong thinking?
No, God is there, yes, but not participating in it. You cannot move outside of God. Mm-hmm. And you cannot move outside of the mind of God. Yeah. Does that help you?
Yes.
That help?
Yes.
But God is not participating in that, but God allows you to do what you want. Always. You know, it's like the prodigal son. It's the story of the prodigal son. We all have to go out into the world. We all have to go out and think our own thoughts and do all this craziness and do all this, that, and the other thing. But we come back home again. We come back to the Father. And what does the Father do when he sees the Son coming?
He rejoices.
He rejoices. So you have to come back to that. You have to know that you're gods in the making, you're gods and goddesses, and the idea is to learn to think God thoughts after it. When I said earlier, how would an angel handle this? If you don't like that, then say, how would God think about this situation? How would God deal with this? Because, see, the world only has two ways of thinking. Only two ways of thinking, people, right or wrong. Yes or no. God always has a third way. Always with God, there is a third way. There is a better way and a different way. And that third way always is the best for all those concerned. And we can't figure that out. But God can. God is infinite, all-powerful, everywhere present, sees, hears, and knows all. We do not. We see in part. See, we do not see the whole. And this is where we get ourselves into trouble, because we see part. And when we see part, we think it's the whole. Now, how do you do that all the time in your own life? I'll tell you how you do that. You hear bits and pieces of information, and you immediately put a story together. And then you decide if you like that person or that situation or whatever. You come up with all those conclusions based on little pieces of information, based on bits and pieces and parts of something. Now you have that whole thing going, and then somebody comes and tells you, gives you more information, and you have to throw that all out and start over again. Because we only ever get parts. That is why it's so difficult. That's why it's so difficult to understand God. Because we only get bits and pieces. We only get parts. And we try to do something with those parts. Don't try to do something with those parts. Know that it'll all come together in the whole. It'll all fill in. I gave up trying to do any of that years ago. Just give it up. Let God come in. It's all there is, you say. It's all there ever is going to be. We're so worried about this, that, and the other thing. The only thing if you should concern yourself with is how can I get closer to this thing called God? And you do that with your thinking. You do that with your thinking. You're clear?
Yes.
You're all right? Anyone else a question? No? So you're going to forgive yourselves? You're going to let go of all those things that you thought were mistakes and all? In fact, I would go so far as to give up that word from my vocabulary. And I would change what you think is a mistake to, isn't this a wonderful gift and a wonderful opportunity for me to look in a different direction? For me to look in a different direction. Well, I am, something just dropped into my mind since we're metaphysical here. In the Bible, and you've heard this since day one, turn the other cheek. If somebody slaps you here, you turn this cheek so that you can be slapped again. That does not mean that, people. That does not mean that. Does not, not, no, no, no. To turn the other cheek means to look in a different direction. Turn the cheek. Turn the cheek. Think differently. Turn and look in a different direction. That's all that means. See, we've been given so much bad information. Give up that bad information. Give up the idea of mistakes. Learn to love yourself. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you. Thank you.